Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to check in on the Fisher House here in Minneapolis and meet the new Minnesota Department American Legion Commander. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
When people think about the military, they often think about service members deployed overseas. What is unique about the National Guard is their additional roles. During Super Bowl 52, more than 450 soldiers and airmen supported security operations and law enforcement agencies. In 2017, more than 110 Minnesota soldiers and airmen were activated for hurricane relief efforts in Texas, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. In June of 2017, the Minnesota National Guard supported the Minnesota State Patrol on locating three missing paddlers in the Boundary Waters canoe area. Also, in December of 2017, we opened our armories to several communities to shelter Minnesotans during extreme cold weather. With a force of more than 13,000 strong, we are proud to serve the great state of Minnesota and our nation.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk today about the Minneapolis VA Fisher Houses. And joining me now is Kim Bim, who is employed at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system for 22 years. The first 21 years, she was a registered dietitian, and now the past 15 months as the Fisher House manager. Kim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kim, many years at the Minneapolis VA as a dietitian. How much education does it take to be qualified to be a dietitian for the Minneapolis VA?
Well, it depends. Usually about 4 years of college and then a 10 to 12 month internship afterwards. I was lucky enough to do my internship right along with my college courses at Viterbo in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
And how did you become interested in the VA?
Well, I had a coworker that I worked with down at a different hospital, and she left. And a couple months later, I asked how she liked it over at the VA, and she just said she absolutely loved it. Loved the people, loved the veterans, and she had told me that somebody had just transferred to another VA hospital, so there was an opening. So I jumped on that, and I was lucky enough to get in there, and I've loved working there ever since.
Okay, so the Minneapolis VA takes care of a lot of veterans. As a dietitian there, do the primary care doctors call you in for a consult to... How do they pull in the dietitian when they need him, and when do they need him?
Yep, we get the consults from doctors, nurses, physical therapy, speech therapy. If a veteran is admitted and they have weight loss, or they have difficulty swallowing, or they've had a stroke and they need tube feeding recommendations, education, malnutrition, food insecurity, they will put a consult in for the dietitian, and we'll go see the veteran. Hopefully, their family's around to do what we do best, you know, help their nutritional level improve.
So when you're saying that, I was thinking about a Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney, and he got interviewed a few years back, and they said, they've taken control of my food supply. I can't have pizza anymore. The dietitians have hit. Is it like that? Do you have to talk to the family to make sure that the veteran knows, here's what you should eat most of the time, and maybe one day a week you're going to have something fun?
Yes. If they have a family that does the cooking, we would always like to have them involved. And we're not the food police by no means, but we try to follow that 80-20 rule. You know, eat well and be healthy with your eating and exercising 80% of the time, and then treat yourself once in a while. And when you treat yourself, don't feel guilty.
Well, and Kim, I've met with your dietitian several times at Minneapolis, and I think the most important thing was portion sizes. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you've got type 2 diabetes, controlling your carb intake. And once you get those things down and then take your blood sugar readings, you can kind of figure it out.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're not the dietitians aren't the police, the food police.
Nope. They're here to help you.
Very good. Now, you've been at the Minneapolis VA for a long time as a dietitian. There was an opening, I guess, about 15 months ago over at the Fisher House. And what caused you to say, maybe I want something new?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been a dietitian for about 33 years, and I'd like to work maybe another 10 or so. And I just wanted to find a new challenge, something that just a little different. And I knew I've always wanted to go into the management world. And this, I think, was just a perfect opportunity to manage two houses, two employees, and still continue to work with the veterans and their families.
And you're still a VA employee.
Correct.
Okay, we're talking to Kim Bim about Fisher House at the Minneapolis VA on Minnesota Military Radio. Fisher Houses, I understand there's about 95 of them across the country. Can you tell our listeners, what are they?
Well, a lot of people have heard of the Ronald McDonald House for children and their family that are undergoing medical care, but they haven't heard about the Fisher House. So that's why I'm really glad that I'm here today to be able to tell your listeners and so they can pass on the message about what is a Fisher House. So the Fisher House is a place to stay for the veterans' families that live 50 miles or more away or 2 hours or more away from our medical center. So the families can come visit their loved ones in the hospital, no cost. We also have veterans can stay as well the night before their surgery. So if I have somebody from Duluth that has open heart surgery tomorrow morning, they got to be there at 6 o'clock. You know, we don't want them to have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to drive down. So they'll come in, check in at the Fisher House the day before, and they'll get up, they'll go over to the hospital and have their surgery. And then their spouse or caregiver can continue to stay at the Fisher House while the veteran's in the hospital.
Now, let's describe the Fisher House. I know there's two of them at the Minneapolis VA. There was another one built a few years back, as I recall. Is it like a small hotel with some common areas?
In a way, it is. I think it's like a five-star hotel meets a bed and breakfast. So our first Fisher House was built in 1995 with 8 guest suites. And over the years, you know, they were full a lot of the time. So the VA had put in another request to the Fisher House Foundation, which is in Bethesda, Maryland, saying, hey, we could really use a second one. So we really had to justify why, what type of patients, what types of families would be here. So in 2011, a second Fisher House was built, and that has 20 guest suites. So the guests will have their own room, private bathroom. The newer house is wheelchair accessible. They have a common kitchen area, a common, you know, dining room, living room, library, patio that they can use.
So it's veteran families, either the veteran and or a spouse, sometime probably maybe a child or something.
Correct.
And do they bring in their own food? Do you provide food? How does the kitchen area work?
Yes. So we are all run off of donations. So when we go buy groceries, we use our government credit card, go to Cub or Hy-Vee, and the card will just bring, you know, get the money right out of our general post fund. So we have refrigerators full of food, freezer full of food, so they don't have to, you know, worry about bringing their food in. But if they are on a dietary restriction, you know, say somebody's gluten intolerance, they might bring in their own bread. And we have little cubby areas on in the kitchen that they can put their own food. And then we have a separate refrigerator for them, too, if they want to bring in their own food. But they don't starve while they're at our house.
Sounds like if they get hungry, they can just wander into the kitchen and find something to eat.
24 hours a day.
Very good. And do you charge when they stay there, or is this part of their benefit? Is this part of the Fisher House program?
Yep. Anybody can stay that live 50 miles or more away. But when the veteran does stay, you know, before their appointment, then they do have to have a spouse or caregiver with them. We don't let them stay by themselves just for safety. So, yep, they can stay at the Fisher House, you know, the family, the caregiver, as long as that hospital stay dictates.
Very good. Kim, we have to take a short break and come back. We're going to talk more with Kim Bim about the Fisher Houses at the Minneapolis VA. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Kim Bim, who is the Fisher House manager at the Minneapolis VA, where we have two Fisher Houses. Kim, I think you said there's 8 suites in one and 20 in the second one?
Correct.
And these Fisher Houses, I understand there's currently 95 Fisher Houses in operations at VA, Army, Navy, and Air Force medical centers. Over 455,000 families have been served with $575 million in savings to these families and 12 million days of lodging. And we're really fortunate to have two of these Fisher Houses in Minneapolis. How full do they stay? Is it pretty busy all the time?
Well, during COVID, things were not shut down all the way, but we didn't have as many guests because of the visitor policy over at the hospital. And so it's been increasing. Well, as of May 11th, we lifted the COVID restrictions, And our census is nearly doubled, but actually over doubled. So I was just looking at my numbers when I was doing my report. And in April, we had about, 330 guests stay. Well, in July, we had 730 guests.
It's a good thing you got in there 15 months ago and got used to this, because now it's getting really busy.
Yes. I kind of started slow. I was able to get my feet wet and know what the heck I'm doing. So, yeah, we're very thrilled about that number. So over the past year, I would estimate we had about 5,000 guests and about 3,000 rooms were occupied. So if you take, say, an average hotel room is $200, we've saved our families just in lodging about $600,000 in the last year.
Now, Kim, that's pretty busy. You must get some extra support from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system in terms of janitorial, housekeeping, repairs and maintenance, those kind of things.
Yes. So when the Fisher House gifted this Fisher House to the VA, it was with the understanding that they needed to keep it up in the pristine condition like it was gifted. So when we have something break down, or, you know, we need help with anything, our engineering department at the Minneapolis VA are godsends. They have done so much work just to keep, you know, the lights working, the air conditioning working. You know, any little thing that goes wrong, we need to fix it right away. So they've been very supportive. And then we have two housekeepers, one in each house. And I'm not the supervisor over them, but they come and they, I think that's the first thing that when guests check in is, oh my gosh, it's so clean and shiny. So that's really nice for them to hear.
So those housekeepers have taken ownership of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And
make
they
it
want
their
it
own.
To be just right.
Right. And then I have two program support assistants that help with the consults and getting people on the check or on our guest lists.
So if veteran's coming in for some kind of an appointment or surgery, something like that, that they've scheduled through the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, how do they know that to try to ask for a room at Fisher House?
Well, they'll talk to anybody on their medical care team. So if they are able to take a few steps and they have an outpatient appointment and live more than 50 miles away, we do have a building 10 that the veteran can stay at. However, if they use a walker or a wheelchair, they can't get up the first few steps in that building. It's like right across from the VA. So then they would be eligible to stay at the Fisher House with that family member or caregiver. So, and the staff over at the hospital, you know, on the medical team, they're really good about, hey, we got a Fisher House if you don't want to, you know, get up and drive an 8-hour drive for your, whether it's appointment or surgery.
So when they're scheduling the medical appointment, sometimes they can just check and say, is there a room available, and try to coordinate that so that it's good for the veteran.
Correct. And often it's the medical staff that suggests that to the veteran because, again, a lot of people don't know about the Fisher House.
Sure. How would they know unless they've seen it or heard us talking about it on the radio?
Exactly.
We're talking with Kim Bim, the Fisher House manager for the Minneapolis VA's healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. So I have to ask you, has there been a particularly impactful family that I'm guessing that most of the people that get an opportunity to stay there for free, along with food and all the rest of that, pretty grateful that that service mm-hmm. is there, but there's got to be some incidents that stick out in your mind.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't want to leave. And it's like, hey, you're the veteran's leaving. You
Time's
can't
up.
Stay here.
next veteran in, you got to go home now.
There's a lot of people that come to mind, but the one that sticks out to me the most is a family that lived in the next state over. They have a son that was on the polytrauma unit with several injuries that require several weeks of occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and they weren't able to afford a hotel. And luckily, the 4J social work said, hey, we've got this Fisher House. You can stay there right across the street. And they were so grateful because now they can be with their son to help support him, to be there when he's having a rough time. And I couldn't imagine being away from my son if he was in the hospital. So the veteran's parents are staying right across the street, and it's great. Because one of our mottos is, because family is good medicine. So if we have a veteran over at the hospital worried about their family and, you know, where are they staying? You know, not are they safe? That way the veteran can know, hey, you're safe. Because often the spouse will take pictures. Hey, look at where I'm staying. And so once they see that, they just have a little bit less stress so they can focus on healing themselves.
So keep your family support team close. And the Fisher houses are a little bit like the McDonald's house for veterans.
Correct. You're right
on. And they're right there so that they can get them back and forth to their appointments and do things. Kim, before we run out of time, how can our listeners get involved, donate, help? Do you use volunteers? Do you need money?
Yes. Yes to both. So yes, volunteers, yes. We've got about 11 groups that come in and do cooking. So and then the rest of the time, the guests will prepare their own meals. But when the guests come back from a long day of visiting their loved one in the hospital, they smell the deliciousness in the air, and they're like, oh, my gosh, homemade bread or chili. And that you can just see.
Or grandma's house.
Yeah, exactly. Or cookies in the oven. And you can just see a little bit of that stress melt away. So that's one less thing that they have to worry about.
All right. So if our listeners want to get involved and help, how do they go about that?
They can call me if they're interested in volunteering, 612-467-5602. And then if I have people that are interested in, you know, donating in a monetary gift, I will just have them, if they want to write a check out to the Minneapolis Fisher House and mail it to the Minneapolis VA at 1 Veterans Drive and just put attention Fisher House, they can do that. Or we do have a website also that they can do an e-donate. And I can give you that really quick.
Well, we're going to ask our listeners just to go to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Click on Fisher House. All of that information should be there. And we're almost out of time, Kim, but I know you've got a Fisher House journal, and you wanted to read a note that was left by one of your guests.
Correct. So it's just nice to be able to write down some of their thoughts and feelings and experiences. So we leave these journals in their guest suite. So this one entry says, "What a blessing the Fisher House is. My anxiety was so relieved to be able to stay in this wonderful place. It provides so much more than a place to stay. Food was provided at any time. Service organizations provided breakfast one morning, supper another morning, and it was just lovely. The other guests also baked and shared banana bread and cake. Everyone is so helpful. I've met many other friends that have stayed here at the Fisher House, and it's really nice, a place to support one another during our stressful times."
Kim, you're smiling the whole time we're talking about the Fisher House. You must love your job.
I do. It's one of the most rewarding jobs I've ever had.
Well, thank you for taking care of our veterans and their families, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was Kim Bim, the Fisher House Manager for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Please stay with us. In a moment, we're going to meet the new Department Commander for the American Legion. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the new Department Commander for the American Legion here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
At the start of the Civil War, Minnesota was the first state to offer volunteers for the Union Army. Ordinary men from Minnesota made an extraordinary sacrifice. Only 3 years after achieving statehood, over 24,000 Minnesotans answered the call to service. These brave Minnesotans oftentimes found themselves on the front line or the last to leave the battlefield. Minnesotans played a pivotal role, and their service will not be forgotten. The Civil War changed Minnesota in many ways. After the war was over, many soldiers from other states were drawn here because of the Minnesotans they had met and the stories they had heard. The Civil War deeply shaped us, and the 1st Minnesota Volunteer Infantry Regiment holds a special place in the history of our state.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Paul Hassing is the commander of the American Legion and has served 32 years in the Army, 17 on active duty and 15 in the reserves. He's been on deployments to Iraq, Kuwait, Afghanistan, and a humanitarian mission in New Guinea. He was recently elected the American Legion Department Commander for Minnesota. Commander, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Commander, you served a lot of years in the Army, active duty and reserves, 32 years.
Yes, yes.
That kind of should add up to retirement at some point, isn't it?
And I am retired from the military, and there's just a question about the pension, but that's coming.
paperwork takes time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yes.
And, of course, sometimes paperwork takes time for veterans' issues, whether they're supported by the American Legion or not.
That's correct. That is correct, yes.
And we're going to talk about that in a little bit because you're people that help advocate for claims that our veterans have made through the County Veteran Service Officers. A pretty important part of what happens over at the American Legion.
Yes, yes, it's very important. Yep.
So you've got some great claim reps over there.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We got a lot of hardworking people in the American Legion.
Very good. You're going to have a fun year, Commander. I just know it. You've been deployed. Iraq, Kuwait, Afghanistan, New Guinea. What were you doing in New Guinea?
We were over there. It was supposed to be a hospital ship. I got a call. They asked if we could come over, and I was a preventive medicine NCO. The Australians wanted us to go to Papua New Guinea to help them take air samples, water samples, soil samples, and provide medical services for the New Guineans. And they had donated some water containers, and the Papua New Guineans didn't really know how to use them. So we were over there helping out with that.
Trying to improve the conditions both for Australia and for the folks that live there.
Yes, yes. Papua New Guinea has a really bad tuberculosis problem. And so we're there to try and teach them things that they could do to mitigate that.
I'll bet that was an interesting and satisfying mission.
It was very satisfying.
Good that you got to do that.
Yeah.
Now, Commander, when you were winding down your military career, what attracted you to do some things with the American Legion?
Well, I got involved with the American Legion. I've been involved now for 18 years. And it started, I was talking to somebody. I was at the Minnesota Veterans Home. And I was kind of down on things and wasn't really, I don't know. It's hard to describe. But anyway, there was somebody from the American Legion Auxiliary. And she said, I guarantee you'll feel better about yourself if you start helping other people. And so little by little, I started doing that. And then they asked me to be post commander and then post commander again. And
Did that for more than one term.
And she was absolutely right. The more I felt like I was helping other people, the better I felt about myself.
When you're busy doing those things, you don't think about your own concerns and problems.
Exactly.
Aches and pains, it doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So at some point, you've got done being post commander and made a decision to go through the chairs for the state?
I did different things in the American Legion, to help out. And then I was running for district commander, and I was being deployed. So I was trying to figure out how I could campaign for district commander while I was overseas, and came up with this thing called Flat Paul. It was a cardboard cutout of me that my wife took everywhere. And
you can read about that in this month's Legionnaire.
Yep,
I just read about it this week.
Oh, okay.
But it helped you, and you made it.
Yeah, yeah. Flat Paul was awesome.
And you also were involved and active with the American Legion Riders.
Yes, the American Legion Riders, I was trying to figure out, because we go through stages in life, and if we're having fun, if we feel like what we're doing has a purpose. And I met a guy named Steve Sullivan who was kind of getting the Minnesota American Legion Riders program going. And I talked to him, and I had a motorcycle.
So in you went.
In I went. And American Legion Riders, they do outstanding things. They raise a ton of money. That was our motto, was have fun, raise money, give it away.
There you go. We're speaking with Paul Hassing, the commander of the American Legion here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Commander, you were just installed as commander. You've got a year coming up ahead of you, and I understand your theme for the year is the road ahead.
Yes.
Can you explain that to us?
The road ahead, for those that know the American Legion, know the great things the American Legion has done, you know, whether it's the GI Bill or, you know, even the beginnings of the VA, all those things the American Legion has done and our predecessors have done outstanding things. And we don't want to forget that. But if we're not concentrating on the road ahead, you know, there can be things coming down the road, the curves, the potholes, all that stuff. So we can look in the mirror and we can, I guess, rely on the things we've done, or we can look ahead, occasionally looking in the mirror for guidance.
Well, Commander, I think you're going to have a busy year and an exciting year. Can you explain to us, to our listeners, what is the mission of the American Legion in Minnesota? You guys do a lot more than just have posts and go have a beer. There's a lot of things going on.
There are, our biggest thing in the American Legion is to take care of veterans and their families and the community. You know, we want to make sure that if an American Legion post were to go away, would that community know? And if they wouldn't know or care if we went away, then we need to change that. We need to get more involved with the community, make the community aware of veterans' issues, and let them know how we can help them out.
And, Commander, you've got the best eligibility requirement of the other veteran service organizations, because there's more people that are eligible to join the Legion, and therefore, as an organization, you're the largest in Minnesota.
Yes.
And with that, you're always looking for...
We're always looking for new members. We're always looking for new ideas. It is not just the bar on the corner. We do amazing things. We help out a lot of people, but we need your help, just like you need our help speaking to veterans out there.
And one of the things we alluded to early was if a veteran has some kind of military issue related to their service or a medical issue related to their service, they can go start a claim with their county veteran service officer.
Yes.
But they usually need help advocating that claim, and the American Legion has some experienced people to do that.
Yes. Yes, we do. Whether it's, you know, through legislation or whether it's through even a claim that you're making at the VA.
So you can help them with documentation. You can help them explain the process. Help them manage the process.
Yes.
So they're not on their own.
Exactly.
And your guys and gals that do that work do this all the time, so they know how to do it.
Yep. They know the ins and outs of the system, and you know, it's a very complicated process.
And time-consuming.
I can
tell you from personal experience, if you got a little help going through that,
yeah,
makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, if you have an advocate, it's... makes the process, you know, it still can be frustrating, but it makes the process a whole lot easier if you have somebody that knows the system.
Yes, sir. Commander, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about a couple of programs at American Legion. We're talking with Commander Paul Hessing from the Department of Minnesota American Legion on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Paul Hessing, who is the recently elected commander, department commander of the American Legion here in Minnesota. And, Paul, it's a busy position. I'm going to bet you're going to wear out a car this year. There's a lot of posts to go visit. There's a lot of – you've got a busy schedule. They keep you busy, right?
Yes, they do. I've already – I keep teasing the wife that I want a new car anyway. She said, wait till after your year. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, but, wear it out first, then you can take care of that next year. So we got a lot of programs that the American Legion does, but one of the things I think has fans all over the state is the softball and the American Legion baseball.
Yes. Softball, women's fast pitch softball just started last year, and there's 28 teams across the state. They just had their tournament. And Division I baseball, we have the most baseball, most American Legion baseball teams of any other state. We have 384 teams.
Well, it's really active here in Minnesota, and I've read in the Legionnaire that the ladies, the women's fast pitch softball, they're pretty passionate about that, and they want that to go.
And I mean, it's great how fast it's growing, and just the enthusiasm that people have for it. It's amazing.
If you haven't seen a women's fast pitch softball game, you should go. It's some of the most fun baseball games you can see anywhere.
It really is. Unfortunately, this last weekend I didn't get to go to this softball tournament. I went to the Division I baseball tournament, which was amazing in itself. I mean, the sportsmanship and the politeness of the kids was just something I haven't seen.
Commander, you're in trouble already.
Yeah.
You had to choose between women's softball and baseball. Commander, I want to ask you about the Legacy Scholarship Fund. Is that pretty active?
Yes, it is. Legacy Scholarship Fund is a national scholarship. It's awarded to the children of those killed in action, if their parent was killed in action, and also anybody that's over 50% VA-rated disability.
So there's some educational funds available.
Yes.
In those certain circumstances.
Yep. Years ago, we were asked to nationwide raise $20 million so this fund would run in perpetuity. And the rumor is that this will be the last year we have to raise funds because we've raised enough. The state of Minnesota, Minnesota American Legion Riders have raised over $1.5 million of that $20 million.
So essentially the children of the fallen have an opportunity to get some educational funds.
Yes.
And do they contact the Department of Minnesota to do that? What's the process?
Yes, if they go to the Legion website, whether it's national or Minnesota Legion website, it's on there.
Very good.
How to apply.
Commander, every year we get a new commander and we get a new commander's project. Who are you going to benefit this year?
My project is the Minnesota Veterans Assistance Fund, better known as Fund 85. It's a fund, you know, we've all been there where we need some kind of assistance, whether it's, you know, the transmission goes out or the furnace goes out or something like that. A veteran can apply and get up to a lifetime cap of $5,000.
Now, is that just here in Minnesota?
That is for Minnesota veterans, yes.
So you're trying to raise funds for that so that we've got plenty of funds to give out those grants?
Yes. Yep.
Very good, Commander. We got one last question here, and it's startling to me. It was proposed to us when I talked to you. Is there a possible loss of benefits somewhere in the future?
Yes. Well, you know, politicians are, I don't know, I heard one politician say, well, the American Legion's voice isn't as strong as or as loud as it used to be. And that's because membership is down. You know, a lot of our members are getting older, and a lot of the World War II veterans were passing away, and what we need are our veterans. That's why we need the veterans so much, and that's why they need us so much, because your benefits as a veteran could very easily disappear with
if they're ignored and left to go and they work
yes.
on other things, they could disappear. And as the department commander, you're a member of what's called the Commander's Task Force, where
yes.
all the commanders of the Veteran Service Organizations in Minnesota come together.
Yep.
Set some legislative priorities, go up to the Hill, Veterans Day on the Hill, and try to make some noise.
Yes.
And it's an opportunity for your membership to combine with all the other memberships and go up there and say, our elected officials, we're representing all the veterans in Minnesota.
Yes.
And we think you need to talk to us.
Yes.
And I think what you're getting at with this topic is you don't have to be active in the American Legion, but if you join, you can add your voice to all the other voices when you go up and do the work.
That's exactly right. That's you know, I hate to say you need us and we need you, but that is the case.
And it's much more than just a place to go visit.
Yes, it's not just a bar on the corner. It's legislative. It's scholarships. It's programs like baseball and softball. And if you have a passion for something, bring it, and, you know, we can make it into a program. We can, you know.
Commander, I've heard that a lot of us older veterans say that we stand on the shoulders of the veterans that came before us because they established a lot of these things, and we took them a little further. We need the current veterans that are coming out of the military today to come in and
yes.
and keep it going, and that's where your concern is about the possible loss of benefits. If we
yes.
get too quiet.
Yep.
They're going to work on other things and forget all about it.
Yes, and you know, they will go away if we don't keep it going. You know, we've been around for, what, 104 years now?
We need another 104.
We need another 104. And beyond.
Commander, I hope you have a great year, and we look forward to having you on the show a few more times. And I want to thank you for coming into the station today to visit with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It really means a lot. This is a great thing.
Well, we'll get you back, and next time we'll reverse it. You can interview me.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, sir. That was the American Legion Department Commander Paul Hassing on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Terrence Hayes from the Department of Veterans Affairs, National Press Secretary. Terrence, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Terrence, this is a pretty interesting time. Last year, Congress passed the bill that in the short version is referred to as the PACT Act. And it's kind of a window that it opened up and gave veterans an opportunity to make some claims about some toxic things they might have been exposed to.
Absolutely. The critical piece here is that folks can apply for the PACT Act today, a year from now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now. That's not going anywhere. But if you want to maximize the amount of benefits that you are eligible for, and you need to apply or, you know, submit an intent to file on or before August 9th. So that's critical if you want to get those backdated benefits to when President Biden signed the bill into law last August.
So this is for veterans that might have breathed debris from sandstorms, fumes, burning trash, chemicals like Agent Orange or more oil overseas, or perhaps burn pits, which I understand you might have been exposed to.
Yes. You know, I spent 15 months in Iraq myself. From 2006 to 2008, and I, too, actually went through the toxic exposure screening process to determine if I had come in contact with any toxic substances. I'm actually still going through that process now at the D.C. VA Medical Center with further testing. So I'm encouraging any veteran who may have come in contact with toxic substances, whether that's burn pits or Agent Orange for our Vietnam War veterans, to please give VA a call if you're already in our healthcare system. To get that toxic exposure screening so we can dig a little deeper to determine if you have indeed come into contact with toxic substances.
So, Terrence, I understand if they sign a letter, an intent to file, prior to August 9th, and they're successful with that claim, it could get backdated up to a year.
That's 12 benefits. Months worth of benefits. I mean, you're talking monetary benefits, and to some individuals that could be you know, a lot of money in their hands for their families. So this is critical. If veterans out there are listening to this program, and not only veterans, we need to focus on our survivors also. This impacts them too. So if there are survivors out there who lost their loved one to any of these conditions because of the PACT Act, please give us a call at 1-800-698-2411 so we can provide you assistance right away.
So I'm glad you brought that up. This is for the veterans, but if you had a family member who served, let's say, in the Kuwait War and was exposed to the burning oil wells, or someone exposed to burn pits, or even back to my generation, if they were on the ground in Vietnam and exposed to Agent Orange, the window is open. And even if you lost your veterans, contact the VA and ask them about it. See if they can help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is critical. We need to take care of these surviving families as well. As these veterans have served our country. So to any veteran out there, this impacts you also. So please give us a call at that number, 1-800-698-2411, so we can provide you the benefits that your loved one has earned.
And Terrence, hate to even bring this up, but it seems like today there's scams and things everywhere. Is there anything for our veterans or their families or survivors to worry about in terms of scams?
Yes, please be wary because there are a lot of bad actors out there preying on survivors and veterans seeking PACT Act benefits. What the advice that we are giving veterans and survivors is this. Again, give us a call. Visit your local VA medical center. You can start there, or you can file the claim yourself. Second, you can chat with a local veteran service organization, you know, like your VFWs, your American Legions, your DAVs. They have accredited personnel by VA to provide you assistance free of charge. So that's the second route. And then the third route is to contact your county and local veteran service office. They have dedicated professionals there who can help you navigate the system also in applying for your claim too. So, again, those are the three routes that we have recommended that veterans take and survivors to avoid any of these bad actors out there preying on the benefits that they've earned.
And if you get a chance, do it today.
Exactly. Exactly. If you do anything, please stop everything you're doing right now. Apply right now so we can get these benefits in your hands.
Terrence, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you. That was Terrence Hayes, the National Press Secretary for the Department of Veterans Affairs, talking about the PACT Act. Call your county veteran service officer today. We have one mention today, the 15th annual Classic Car and Tractor Show benefiting the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and Wishes and More will be held September 24th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Withrow, Minnesota on Keystone Avenue between the Withrow Ballroom and Sal's Angus Grill. There'll be over 500 entries. Attendance is free and donations are encouraged. All event proceeds will go to the charities. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Kim Bim from the Fisher House, Paul Hossing, the American Legion, Terrence Haynes from the VA, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we record live from the 14th Annual Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic at Bunker Hills Golf Club. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.